Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Yota, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holding conference call to present and discuss the full year 2019 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holding management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holding, and I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis, and our CFO, Mr. Marcos Bitsakos. We will first give you a brief update of the results of 2019, the full year, and an outlook for 2020, and we will later have time for your questions. For those of you who sit in front of a PC, you can browse the IR segment of our corporate webpage, quest.gr, and download all relevant information, including our corporate presentation. Now we'll give the microphone to Mr. Marcos Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon. I'm Marcos Bitsakos, Quest Group CFO. As always, I will start by giving you the snapshot of the consolidated figures. Our revenues expanded by 20%, reaching 600 million euros for 2019, and the growth was mainly fueled by two sectors: IT products, which is the wholesale business, and IT services, by 24% and 29% respectively. Now, having said that, it's worth mentioning that all companies included in Quest portfolio had an increase in revenues, thus they have a contribution share on this notable increase. Our EBITDA grew by 57% and the EBT by 25%. Earnings after tax and non-controlling interest shrank by almost 58%. More specifically, earnings after tax were 8.3 million euros at the end of 2019, as opposed to 20 million last year. The reason for this decrease, as we have already announced, is the reversal of a long-term tax asset amounting 12.7 million euros stated in our balance sheet up to December 19, 2019. This tax asset, which was created back in 2006, represent a down payment to the tax authorities by the parent company, which was deleted and transferred to the P&L account in 2019 based on a new tax legislation passed in late December 2019. The deletion event hit the earnings after tax results. However, this has nothing to do with cash, has no impact at all. Furthermore, this is a one-off event that will not impact either the recurring earnings of the group and the company or the dividend policies followed by the group throughout the recent years. Excluding this one-off event, the adjusted earnings after tax would be 21 million euros. As mentioned in our press release, the adjusted earnings per share would be 0.5763. Now, 2019 closed with a net cash position for the group close to 25 million euro compared to near 26 million last year and 14 million euro net debt back in September 2019. The main reason for this positive change is that the group's companies managed to recover a large part of working capital that was required to do business within 2019. For those of you who attended our previous calls, we had mentioned it back in September, for example, 2019, that working capital was anticipated to significantly improve during the second half of the year, leading to a good position at the end of the year versus the first two quarters. Of course, this was heavily done from all our companies, especially in the last quarter of the year.
Okay, now getting into more detail into our segments. we observe that the IT product segments, which is four companies, InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, and Quest Online, climbed by almost 24% at the sales level, while the EBT doubled to 8 million compared to only 4 million last year. Now, at this point, we must note that the EBT has significantly been boosted almost by 1.4 million by the reversal of an extraordinary provision regarding intellectual property right fees, as we have already explained in previous calls. Now, the highest growth is in the IT services sector, which is the Unisystems company and its subsidiaries, which improved by 29% in sales and almost 9 times in EBT. Growth came from both domestic and international activities. And we must note here that the company has delivered two projects that were producing losses in the past. So as a result, the company recovers to the normal sector's profit margin, which is between 5 and 10%. That's why we have a growth of EBT by 9 times. Now, Postal Services, which is ACS, grew by 7% in terms of sales and by almost 6% in EBT. Electronic Payments, which is company Cardlink, its sales were at the same levels as last year, while EBT shrank by almost 43%, minus 43%. What we observe here is that the local market matures and the company sales stabilize at its normal levels. And due to the new agreement with the banks that we've explained in the past, EBT margins are expected to decrease in 2020, and then they will recover back in 2021 at the levels of about 15% of sales. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales and earnings tripled in 2019 compared to the same period last year. There are mainly two reasons for this. Firstly, the acquisition of new solar parks of 7 megawatts total power back in 2018. And secondly, the acquisition of 13.5 megawatts power in total within 2019, including a fully operational solar park of 12 megawatts in July. So by now the total installed base is 26 megawatts. Now overall we could comment regarding the course of 2019 that we had a relatively weak first quarter, which was however assisted by the IP rights reversal, a very strong second quarter in 2019 with high double-digit growth, a relatively good third quarter, and a good finish of the year in the fourth quarter. Now let me pass over to Mr. Iorgantzis to give his view on the group's outlook.
Good afternoon from me too. I'm Apostolos Iorgantzis, West Group CEO. I would mainly talk about the outlook, and this time I will mainly talk about the effects that we expect to have, or we estimate to have, regarding the COVID effect and the pandemic. As you all know, the COVID pandemic and all relevant measures taken by the Greek authorities, as in most of the countries, have created an unprecedented situation in societal, commercial and financial terms, and the overall economy. Although we are not yet in the position to know how this situation will evolve, we are constantly monitoring the impact on our companies and taking actions to minimize the adverse effects. According to the information we have so far, we estimate that the first quarter of 2020 will not be seriously affected by COVID. Regarding the second quarter, we estimated that our results will be adversely affected, especially in the IT product sector. For the remaining sectors, IT services, postal services, e-payments and energy, which according to 2019 consolidated results account for about 44% of the revenues and about 77% of the EBT profitability, we estimated relatively limited effects, while several of our companies might not be impacted at all. In more detail, going to each segment separately, in the IT product segments, where we have the companies InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, and Quest Online, This segment is severely influenced, especially after the lockdowns imposed to physical retail stores. For as long as the current strict measures are applicable, this segment is expected to significantly shrink. The only exception is the company Quest Online, which runs the online shop U.gr, which is expected to demonstrate growth due to online growth that we experience in this, during this period. The remaining companies of these segments are already taking actions to minimize operational expenses and protect their cash flow. The drop in sales is expected to be, for this segment overall, in the high double-digit range. However, these sectors account for a big part in our sales, which is about 56%, but only about 23% of our recurring EBT. Going to the next segments, where we have IT services, this segment is estimated not to be influenced in the midterm, given it has a high backlog of projects. This company, which operates in this sector, the company which is Unisystems, uses extensively remote working practices, and actually in several cases we have an increase in need for the services of this company. The third sector, which regards to ACS and postal services, there is in this sector we see that there is a certainly growing demand in courier services to support e-commerce deliveries, which is currently, due to the lockdown in the retail shop, the main retail channels for the people staying at home. Unfortunately, due to the exceptional conditions and the huge spike in demand, there are difficulties at the moment in the network operation and the parcel deliveries, as well as a relatively increase in company costs. Therefore, extraordinary measures have been taken to ensure on-time parcel delivery and to address the higher administration cost by network. Due to the above situation, sales estimated to further grow. However, due to the extraordinary costs, we are not yet in the position to estimate yet the effect in profitability. However, we believe that long term, it will have the situation will have a positive effect for the company. In the next sector, electronic payments and carding, apart from the open stores, which at the moment in Greece are the groceries, the pharmacies, e-commerce, and some other very specific segments, the rest of the physical retail channel is currently under lockdown, having almost zero or very few transactions. The participation, however, of transactions in the revenue of the company is of the order of 20 to 25%. Therefore, the hit in revenues is estimated most probably to be in the low double-digit range. Finally, for the last sector, which is renewable energy and Quest Energy, so far there is no disruption in production and distribution of solar energy, so at the moment we see no negative effect in this sector, under the condition, of course, that the payments from the respective authority flow normally. Furthermore, in this sector, we are still actively looking for new opportunities that might encounter during this situation. Overall, we have also to mention that the group's cash position is solid, having overall more than 140 million in cash and available credit lines, split 50-50 in these two areas. So we have about more than 70% in cash and a similar amount in available credit lines. Therefore, given the current circumstances and all the explanation we've just mentioned, it is expected and estimated that the COVID impact overall on the group is, under the current circumstances, manageable, partly because of Quest Group diversification of business, as well as due to Quest's solid financial position. Having said all that, we also have to mention that the exact impact of COVID on Quest numbers will depend on the length of the intensity of the social distancing measure taken, the speed of the recovery of the demand after their withdrawal, the measures taken by the state to support the economy and affecting companies, as well as the final effect on the economy itself the day after.
Okay, that was a brief overview for the full year. Now we are happy to take your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Zafari Aras with Cairo. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're keeping well under these tough times. I had a couple of questions, if it was okay, regarding ACS in particular. If I look at Q4 for last year, just Q4 itself, I mean, I may have made a mistake, but it looks like business didn't do that well compared to the last year. And perhaps you could share some more comments on that and what happened, and also explain in a little bit more detail, even if you can't quantify, exactly what you mean by the problems you've encountered in this recent surge in demand linked to, I think, the last mile delivery issues you said in your report. Just to explain in maybe a bit more simple terms, I didn't exactly understand the issue. And just thirdly, a more sort of strategic question. You know, you said you're still looking for acquisitions and things. Obviously, I'm sure the price has changed, but does it sort of make you more willing to maybe buy a company because times are tough now and, you know, it's a good time to invest with a longer term view? Or does it make you more hesitant because you feel it's very uncertain? And thank you again.
Okay, this is Apostolos Georgantzis. I will answer the three questions. The first regarding ACS Q4 results, the answer to the question is that basically last year we had during the last quarter some extraordinary positive results, which we didn't have in the same period this year. We had, however, some extraordinary positive results, if I will remember, the first half of the year, especially the second quarter. Therefore, this is the reason why the comparison for the quarter, fourth quarter is not so, let's say, doesn't seem very, the numbers so comparable. But the company overall, regarding organic numbers and profitability, continues and still provides, let's say, a similar rate of growth in profitability, or even better regarding profitability versus, let's say, sales. Now, regarding the second question, which regards to the outlook we gave for the postal sector and ACS, the thing is what happens is that we've seen in Greece, what happens is that the lockdown was implemented the beginning of the third week of March. So we've seen a relatively positive, let's say, growth for the company until that period. Then the third period of March, we've seen an initial drop, let's say, in volumes for this company. And after that, after a week that people have been staying at home, they started, and with all the retail chain being closed, they started buying. And since e-commerce is very small percentage still in Greece of the total retail sales, the growth in online, which was more than double or triple, the effect in the volumes was that the volumes more or less doubled in just a few days. And this created a backlog, let's say, of deliveries, which the company is now trying to cope with and increase its delivery capacity, because the delivery here, the last mile, regards to people and vans, and this cannot be changing from one day to the other as the surge of the volume happened under these conditions. Therefore, we will need some time until the company manages to improve, let's say, delivery throughput in order to cope with increased capacity. And that's more or less what we mentioned in our outlook for the next period. Now, regarding the third question,
do you have appetite for acquisition?
Regarding appetite for acquisition, having said all that, we still are in a good financial position. So, yes, we have an appetite for acquisition. Of course, we're much more cautious than before due to the situation. And the appetite, of course, regards also to acquisition that in this, under these terms, will have a much better, let's say, return for the company and the group. So we continue, we're cautious, and if we find some, let's say, very good opportunities under these circumstances, we believe, and we will proceed in additional investments.
Perfect. Thank you very much, everyone. Very good call, and excellent year in general. And sorry to see you've now run into these problems in the retail business, just as you got it really flying, and a very good job there.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Kalogeropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon, and congratulations for the set of results that you recorded for 2019. I have a couple of questions regarding the business channels or the independent operations of the company. The first one regards to the, if you could give us a guidance and an outline regarding the EBITDA margin on the Cardlink, on the electronics transaction business for 2020. Then secondly, there is a huge tax rate regarding the IT services channel, referring to Unisystems. It had a very high tax rate for 2019. If you could elaborate a little more on that, how it grew up so much. Then my third question has to do with the relatively lowest EBITDA margin among the four quarters in 2019 on the energy sector. I mean, during Q1, Q2, and Q3 of 19, EBITDA margin was in excess of 75% for each quarter, but we saw it dropping to below 60% in Q4, if you could elaborate on that. And my last question has to do with your strategic targets. I recall that you had mentioned as a strategic target reaching 600 million euro of sales with an EBITDA margin of 9% and an EBT margin of 5% by 2021. But as it is apparent, you managed to do that quite earlier, 2 years earlier. You achieved these rates by end of 2019. So I wonder, where we go on from now on, if you are going to revisit these targets. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I'll answer the first question, which is about Cardlink. So this year, 2020, we have two events that affect the results of Cardlink. The first event is a residual amount of the earnout that the company gives it to its former shareholders, which are the banks from which the Quest Holdings bought, acquired the company 5 years ago. And the second event is the new deal with the banks with discounted rates. So on 2020, we have those two effects adding up, and thus the results and mainly the EBT results of Cardlink are going to be affected, and perhaps they're going to be even a high single digit. However, from next year on, 2021, we come back to our normal EBT margins of Cardlink, which are going to be about 15% of sales. So the second question, Mr. Marcos.
Okay, now, Mr. Kalogeropoulos, if we will forget one of your questions, please do remind
me. I'll catch up with that. The second one was about the increased taxation that you presented in the IT services channel.
This I remember, yes. IT services, I remind you that it has to do with the company Unisystems. Now, Unisystems, as a company that is 100% related, let's say, with revenue recognition, it depends from year to year
the taxation that you see here, it may vary according to the difference between real invoicing and revenue recognition. For 2019, the invoices that were issued from the company and according to which it has to be taxed, it was significantly higher than the revenue recognition.
Okay, that's clear. Thanks.
Okay?
Okay.
If you see previous years, you're going to see exactly the opposite from what we see in 2019.
Okay, that's clear.
We might have the same during the looking forward, going forward as well, because this is an effect that once we have big differences in invoices and revenue recognition, then you have these differences, you experience these differences in the tax term, either positive or increase or decrease.
Revenue recognition tries to match, let's say, in the same period of time, revenues and costs, according with the international standards. However, the tax authorities looks differently the taxable, let's say, income of the company. This is the difference.
Now, how does that translate? I mean, this particularity of Unisystems, how does that translate on your going forward effective tax rate? I mean, can you guide on an effective tax rate going forward, or we will see it rather dropping to that 24% that actually stands by law?
It will definitely drop. I mean, if you see in a 3 years period, let's say, not 1 year, you will notice that the effective tax rate is going to be normalized close to the range of 24%.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Now, as far as the Quest Energy EBITDA margin is concerned, allow me to first note that the overall EBITDA margin throughout the year is more than 73%, is close to 74%. Now, from quarter to quarter, it may vary because, for example, in the last quarter, we had several expenses that were not present previously, such as, for example, some expenses that we had to pay for the acquisition of the park, some extraordinary expenses that we had for the maintenance of the new park, the newly acquired park, Kinigos, which was 12 megawatts, the biggest one. So you have to see the overall margin, the blended, throughout the year.
Okay, and we should suppose something around the 75% to 80% area for the whole year going forward.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, and for the last question, which regarded the strategic plan, the strategic targets that we had for 2021, you're very correct that we have managed to achieve most of them by the end of last year. So both 600 million profitability margin for EBIT about 9% and EBT 5%, as well as a nearly 20% return of EBT versus to equity during 2019. And we were in the process, let's say, to update our business plan for the next 5 years during this year. However, at the moment we have this situation with COVID, which is imminent, and for the moment we're taking care that trying to minimize, let's say, any effects in our businesses from this situation. We hope that for not just for us but for everybody, this situation will gradually improve, and once we have a better view and clearer outlook regarding the effects in the economy, we'll be able to do our new strategic, let's say, plan for the next years, and put new targets, probably higher than the previous ones. I don't know whether this answers your questions.
Yes, thanks a lot. That you were very clear.
Okay, next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Thomopoulos Antonios with Alpha Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for the presentation. I would like to ask you if you plan to distribute capital as you have done during the previous years, and if so, at what level it will be?
Okay. Yes, we have also posted in our press release that the company will continue, let's say, to follow the practice that you have experienced throughout the last at least 3 or 4 years. So that means that we're going to do it for 2019 exactly the same thing, meaning a capital decrease by distributing cash to the shareholders. Now, as far as the level of distribution, it's going to be at least the amount that we had last year. Probably it would be a little bit higher than that.
But this, of course, is just to add up to what Marcos said, is that will need to be decided
in the general
assembly of the company.
But the board of directors plans to positively, let's say, to have this in the general assembly as something to be decided.
Yeah, it will be discussed. Actually, most probably, will be discussed in the year general assembly coming in June.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgatsis for any closing comments. Thank you.
As a closing, we would like to wish you all to be well and healthy during this challenging situation. And we thank you for your presence in this call, and we wish you to have a nice afternoon. Thank you.